started in here.
I won't let you down. I will not give you up. Gotta have some faith in the sound. It's the one good thing that I've got. I won't let you down. So please don't give me up. Cause I would really, really love to stick around. Oh yeah.
Can you dig it?
KCB's News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning, and welcome to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew. I am Drew. That man over there wearing another Star Wars shirt is
every
John
day.
Justice, every day this way. In there, pushing our buttons this morning and answering your phone calls at 651-989-5855. Graceful as a swan. The lovely, talented, radiant Samantha Sansevier.
That is right.
I almost saw you die this morning.
It's true.
I almost witnessed her death.
And you know
what I miss?
She tried to open a door.
You know what?
I mean, okay. Really, it was as simple as that. She almost died just opening a door.
I was, like, really near death. Like, sometimes we'll exaggerate our stories a little bit, but this is legitimately, close to death.
She tried to, like, crane kick the door like Ralph Macchio.
Except these doors weigh so much, it's like it's just
Which
a wall.
Which door did you try to kick?
My studio door.
What? You've been through that door thousands of times.
She karate kitted it. She was like, I'm gonna kick it in the head. And then almost died.
Well, I tried to kick it, but are you familiar with, like, Tom's shoes, or like, or the Skechers version box.
I'm very aware of kicking. Of what shoes? I'm sorry.
You'd like Tom's shoes. Like, here, I'll hold it up. Hold on.
Show
Except
me,
technically,
show
I
me
have,
your shoe.
Technically, I have, you know, like, they're
okay.
called Bob's from Skechers.
I am now familiar okay. with that
but
sandal.
They it's not a sandal. It's
it looks
a
like,
shoe.
Like
it's,
ballet shoe.
Yeah, it's like
yeah,
a
Yeah, okay, it kind of resembles yeah. a ballet shoe.
We won't get into that.
It's
okay.
very comfortable.
Yes.
So
it's not much shoe there.
It has a very smooth bottom.
Right.
So I went to karate chop the door open, and my foot just slipped, and I almost smacked my head on the door.
But regardless of shoe... You could have been wearing steel-toed boots. It's not like you're going to...
Steel-toed boots would be great, because they got grip.
But it's not like you're still going to have enough, no offense to you, strength to kick that heavy door open.
Give me some credit here, okay?
No, I'm not. That was silly thing for you to do.
I watched it with my own eyes.
I do appreciate how you attempt to make grand entrances.
Thank you.
You do things with much gusto. Unfortunately, you could cause yourself also the equal amounts of injury by doing such things.
It was very close to just smacking my head on the door, and then you'd have just had a knocked out Sam sitting over here.
Do you remember, Drew,
we would have noticed a difference.
Do you remember when we were kids? There was this. You probably don't. There was this.
It was
very,
so long ago.
There was this very short phase of. It was a trend of karate pants and shoes being popular.
What?
Oh yeah.
Okay, do you remember that? Okay. All right.
What all
right.
Karate
yeah,
shoes?
I'm a karate kid.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe that must have been what it was.
I think it was around that time.
I remember. I got myself a pair of wider tan karate pants and karate shoes, and I distinctly remember wearing them with a high, without a level of confidence.
Oh yeah. No.
I had no confidence whatsoever.
What am I doing in this?
Wearing the karate pants. I was working at a bike shop at the time, and I remember I showed up for work in my karate pants and shoes, thinking, I was awesome, but I was really just a tool.
I looked like a bad egg.
I know. I did not.
I got my gi on.
That's what your shoes reminded me of. That's what made me think of that.
Karate shoes?
Yeah, it's just a very...
I suddenly want to burn them. I'm not thinking it's karate.
I haven't told you, Drew. I have started watching Cobra Kai, though. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's very... It's kind of meta in a certain way, you know?
Yeah.
But it's got
kind of a low-budget appeal to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like they didn't spend a lot of money on that show.
No, but it's...
It's pretty meta, but I really enjoy... I watched the whole thing. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I don't really know why I like it. But I know that I've been, I have been enjoying watching. Yeah, yeah. I'm only a few episodes in, but
yeah, it's very 80s. It's got the right touch of nostalgia to it.
Yeah, for those that don't know, it basically picks up years later, now present day, where the Karate Kid had left off.
Daniel LaRusso cinematic universe.
Yeah, essentially. They do these throwbacks to the show, especially in the early episodes, you know, with the guy, you know, down on his luck, and it's so weird after all these years. Like, I feel so bad for it now. I feel horribly bad for that guy.
Lawrence.
Yeah. My heart just breaks for the poor dude.
It's a fun show. It's not like a great show. It's not like Breaking Bad.
No.
It's not deep. Acting isn't, you know, like blowing anybody away, but it's fun. It's a good sort of throwback, very 80s kind of show.
I landed on it because it's like when I'm dealing with stuff and not feeling well, I'm very selective in what I can watch. Like Friends is usually my go-to because it's simple and easy. You know, so Cobra Kai was sitting right into that category. It was just very, just kind of just going to veg out. Just don't have to think a lot about it. Just watch it unfold.
Yeah, it's a good show. I recommend it. Another good show is ours.
So I hear.
That was very professional of me.
So also, smooth.
Meta.
Smooth like butter.
Very meta on occasion.
It's us.
This show.
We will be speaking with Senate Majority Leader Paul Gazelka at about 7:35 this morning. Pete Hegseth from Fox News at 8:35.
Are we going to talk about Big Jerk Governor with Paul Gazelka? Is that what we're going to do?
Did you see Governor Dayton's comments yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Vile.
Yes,
disgusting.
I know.
Reprehensible.
I think there's something wrong.
Let's compromise, guys.
I think there's something wrong with him. I'm convinced of this now. I think there's, like, just beyond sort of, I'm like genuinely concerned for his health and well-being. He is being so irrational.
His term cannot end soon enough.
And again, has it always been this bad? Has it?
It's a little amped up.
Okay.
Like, you turned it
like
up
I
to
said,
11.
It's been 2 years, but and I usually got a little taste of it, but this just seems just woo.
You went from like 9 to 11.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Big Jerk Governor. Goodness gracious, man. The guy's just the worst. It was funny because I saw Speaker Doubt's like comments in response to what Dayton was saying yesterday. Like, you know, you didn't hear any of this coming from us. You know, we're not throwing this. We're not throwing these things at the governor. We've been trying to work with him. His response yesterday and the comments he made almost made me feel like he was listening to the show. Like, I felt bad. Like, I felt like he was listening to the show. He was just responding to us because of what we were saying.
From Twitter, Pat Kessler over at Channel 5 tweeted, a tale of two sessions. After GOP leaders say they gave Governor Mark Dayton everything he wanted, Dayton calls Republican actions appalling, vile, and disgusting. And then he's like, but you have to compromise with me. You just called us vile, appalling, and disgusting. What motivation would we have to work with you at this point?
Sam, I hope your scouring is going better than Governor Mark Dayton's rhetoric.
Yes, it did.
We'll bring you Sam's top five next. Justice in.
Twin Cities News Talk. AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice Andrew, along with Sam. Use the hashtag TCNT on Twitter, and also give us a call, 651-989-5855.
It is that time in the morning when our lovely, talented, radiant, and graceful producer...
That's me.
...has been scouring the internet and finding the top five stories that you need to know to kick off your Tuesday.
Number one.
Check your Powerball tickets.
I don't have it.
Oh, wait, can I still buy them?
Go quick. Go on, buy one quick, now. A Powerball ticket worth $1 million was sold in Minnesota.
Just a million?
Just a million.
Just a million.
Yeah,
just
right.
a
million.
I mean, really, it'll
hardly
end up...
Hardly worth that $2 ticket.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, really, it'll just end up being like $500,000 anyway, so...
It's more like $350 after taxes.
Accurate.
You have to actually pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, pennies.
To get your reward.
Yeah, lotteries. We're given these states millions of dollars in buying these tickets, and then they pick like one here, you win, and then they're like, "Thanks for winning. We're going to take most of it back."
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Meanwhile, like, you want to bet on a football game? No. No, we can't have that.
Meanwhile, anybody who's listening right now is just like, "Tell me the Powerball numbers." From Care 11, and we're just sitting here complaining. The Minnesota Lottery states Saturday's Powerball drawing resulted in two big winners, including a ticket worth $1 million that was sold at the Minute Mart in Carlton. The winning Powerball numbers...
Carlton.
Yes, that place. The winning Powerball numbers on Saturday for that $1 million ticket were 3, 6, 9, 17, 56, and the Powerball was 25. Minute Mart Carlton is located on 405 3rd Street. The business will receive a $5,000 bonus once the $1 million prize is claimed by the lucky winner. Minnesota Lottery said a second ticket worth $50,000 was sold at a Casey's General Store in Moorhead.
What do you got to do to get a million? What is it? What do you have to get, like, all of them at the Powerball or something? Does anybody know?
I actually don't know.
You have to set yourself on fire.
No, I think that
you say that, and now there's going to be a lot of people like, really? Because I'd do that for me.
Bev's just jokes. I think you got to get all of them and the Powerball.
No, I think
that's to win the whole thing.
Yeah, to get the jackpot, like the giant, like hundreds of millions.
Okay, then
dollars,
I don't know.
Right? I think for a million, it's maybe like. I have literally no idea. Just go check your Powerball tickets. You might be rich.
You know, but it's funny, though, because you look at the million, and you're going to get a substantial amount of that. You're going to get a substantial amount of the $1 million.
Oh, absolutely.
How life-changing is that, though? I mean, in reality.
I think if you're smart about it, it can be life-changing, and depending on how you invest it and save it.
Yeah, I think it's more of, depending on where you are in life. Like, I look at that, and I go, okay, if I want $1 million... How much is it going to change everything? More just security than anything else.
Yeah, right.
It's more just going to be like, okay, invest it. How much do I actually get? How much do I actually need to invest? You know, but it's not going to drastically sort of upend. Peace out, everybody. Yeah, it's the Drew and Sam show. No, you know, that's not happening.
You're not retiring.
No,
you know, not at your age anyway. You're too young. But I would definitely call it life-changing money, because it does grant you the ability to get completely out of debt, set yourself up to
Will change your life.
Yeah. It's
not life-change.
Suddenly any money problems that you might have are just going to go away.
Right.
Which can be really
set for life.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're not smart, you could find yourself in the same boat within a year. That's what a lot of people don't understand. You could win a vast sum of money, and if you are not smart with it, as most people aren't,
right?
Most people are not that good with money. They're going to blow right through it. They're going to find themselves right back where they are. How many pro athletes who get these multi-million dollar contracts, not just one-time lump sums, but actually contracts over the course of years, then they start living a lifestyle where, well, I'm going to have this income for the rest of my life, and then 2 years after they're either retired or have to stop playing due to injury or something like that, they're in a ton of debt, and they don't know what to do.
Yeah, $1 million does not afford me the opportunity to quit and then pick the home of my choice next to Disneyland.
Right.
That's life-changing to me.
Is that what you do?
And life goals.
Is that when you do the daydreaming of what if I won the big Powerball, you're like, I'm going to live next to Disney?
Yes.
Like, of all the places, really?
Yeah. The house of my choice.
It's like busy land full of a million kids every day.
House of my choice with a relative distance to Disneyland and the best movie theater nearby. That's set.
Just build a movie theater in your house at that point.
If it's money that I can actually move into the park, that's even better. But I'll take it out.
Like,
I'll take
the only
a nice
guy who's like, if I won the lottery, I'd move to Anaheim.
Yeah, man. And I'm all right. It's Disneyland there. It's cool.
Number two.
Barack and Michelle Obama have signed a multi-year Netflix deal to produce films and series.
And the world's coming to an end, apparently.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Apparently,
there's so much hubbub about this, and I don't care.
From the Pioneer Press, Barack and Michelle Obama are getting into the television business with Monday's announcement that they have signed a multi-year deal with Netflix. But wait for it. It gets better. The former president and first lady have formed their own production company, Higher Ground Productions.
Oh, what a troll. Such a, it's, that's such a troll.
We go low.
We go high. Shut up.
And then we weaponize the government against our political opponents. That's what we mean by going high.
In announcing a deal that had been rumored since March, Netflix offered no specifics on what shows they will make. But Netflix did say that the Obamas would make a diverse mix of content.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be very
diverse.
Yeah, all the political viewpoints will be represented.
No, I think they mean diverse from, yeah, we'll have sitcoms that'll be progressive and left-leaning. We'll also have documentaries that'll be progressive and left-leaning. We'll also have action films that will be progressive and left-leaning. Maybe that's their version of diversity.
Maybe an interview show where we'll talk to progressive left-leaning people right. About how progressive and left-leaning they are.
Yeah, so it sounds like to Netflix, their diverse mix of content means potentially including scripted and unscripted series.
Those are the two kinds.
Documentaries or features. So it's literally like Netflix is just like a diverse mix of content, literally everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just going to do everything. Barack Obama said in Netflix's announcement, "We hope to cultivate and curate the talented, inspiring, creative voices who are able to promote greater empathy and understanding between peoples and help them share their stories with the wider world."
Mm-hmm.
The Obamas can be expected to participate in some of the programming on screen. That's according to a person familiar with the deal. The programming itself is not expected to be partisan in nature. A president who often derided the ways things were covered on cable news won't be joining in, according to the story. The type of people that Obama, like other presidents, brought forward as guests at his State of the Union addresses would likely provide fodder for the kinds of stories they want to tell.
You know, the interesting thing to note, like, you look at this and you kind of go, if... You know it's going to go a certain way, right? And this is perfect for the Obamas because of the fact that I don't personally believe it's going to be nearly as successful as what people think that it will be. A lot of times when you have this kind of content, when it is left-leaning, that progressive content, it's not generally popular with the masses. They picked the perfect venue, though, with Netflix, because Netflix never has to reveal what the viewership actually is.
And the metrics for what makes something successful on Netflix is vastly different than the metrics of what makes something successful on broadcast or cable television. They're not doing it by ratings. They're not doing it by share. You know, Netflix has an entirely different model and entirely different metrics that they look at in terms of whether or not they want to continue to pay to produce a show. You know, and if you're a subscriber on Netflix, you don't have to watch it.
Right.
Yeah, that's the nice thing. I mean, it's like, you don't have to watch it.
Here's why it doesn't bother me. It's not going to affect my watching of Netflix at all. There's already a bunch of crap on Netflix that I don't watch. This is just adding more crap on Netflix that I won't watch.
Right.
Doesn't really change that dynamic at all.
We will continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this. Just... News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Tuesday edition of Justice and Drew, 651-989-5855. We are in the midst of Sam's Top 5, left off talking about Barack and Michelle Obama signing a multi-year Netflix deal to produce a diverse array of left-leaning progressive content.
Go away, aren't you rich enough?
I'm sure that the people will disagree with this comment, but I will say this. The only president... Who could do this and actually produce a diverse array of content would be President Donald Trump. Like, any other president would be beholden to whatever party they were involved with. But President Donald Trump, because of his media background and because he's not really a conservative or a Republican,
because Trump.
If he did this after he got out of office, then I think you would actually see... I'm going to put it this way. You see way less political stuff.
Yeah.
You see, by that nature alone...
You see a lot of evening gowns.
Yeah. Entertainment-style stuff. That was the point I wanted to make. Like, he's the only of presidents and, you know, first ladies who were to team up and do something. Trump's the only one that would actually... Yeah. He'd be the most diverse.
I could see...
This won't be.
I could get on board with that. Yeah. I can see that. It'd be a lot of reality TV type stuff. Mm-hmm. It'd be a lot of competition type shows.
That stuff is so, like, gets so many people watching it.
Yeah.
Like, that's so popular. Like,
if Trump did it, I don't think it would be ideologically driven.
Right, exactly. That's my point.
It wouldn't be, I don't even know if it's fair to call it diverse, because it just wouldn't really have a viewpoint at all.
Right. It would just be there.
Ultimate Beastmaster meets American Ninja Warrior meets The Apprentice.
Yeah, cooking Trump steaks, you know, it just... The only show that I would be mildly interested in, and I could even fathom that I would be interested in, would be like a Michelle and Barack Obama reality show, maybe, but even then, I don't.
Oh, God. No.
I don't believe that it wouldn't be heavily scripted and planned out. It wouldn't be real at all.
It would be incredibly scripted.
Yeah, so even then, I wouldn't want to watch it.
No. I can't imagine. I can't think of anything that they're
real presidents of the United States.
Yeah. No, when I first saw the story, I was like, God, imagine if Netflix struck a deal with like the Bush family. You know, the Move On Daily Coast crowd would be freaking out, talking about boycotts, canceling subscriptions. And sure enough, within an hour, there were a bunch of conservative memes out there about cancel Netflix. I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's just so dumb.
It's so dumb.
Just be better.
Just don't watch it if you don't like it.
Just be better than that.
Yeah.
I do have I was going to bring this up. A listener tweeted at you, John, but you did respond on Twitter when you were talking about the Powerball. You said you would buy a house next to Disneyland, and a listener asked, why would you pick Disneyland over Disney World, California versus Florida? You did answer on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. I was born and raised there, so I'd rather.
But the taxes alone.
Yeah. And earthquakes.
Yeah, and earthquakes.
It's a total personal thing for me. I'm not a, no offense, dude, I don't mean to be friends. I mean, I'm the biggest fan of Florida. I've been to Walt Disney World, and my wife would take issue, because she'd want to go to Walt Disney World. She worked there for a summer and loved Walt Disney World. I'm a bigger of the Disney parks. I'm a bigger fan of Disneyland. Mm. That is me.
I take issue with that.
I know
you need to, like, if you're going to live in Florida, you have to enjoy seeing an alligator every 8 feet.
Yeah, I'm just
which, no thanks.
I take that over an earthquakes.
I don't know. I actually don't know which I would take over an earthquake.
Because alligators will leave you alone. You can walk right next to an alligator.
Really?
Yeah, they don't care. They don't care. They don't even know.
I'm pretty sure there was, like, somebody that got eaten by one.
Yeah, but there's,
park.
I mean, that happens, like, once every... Okay. 20 years.
That alligator.
That
cared.
would definitely, okay. Like, once that 20-year anniversary comes up, it would definitely be me. I would be the one eaten by an alligator.
Didn't one kill Steve Irwin? How did he die?
No, it was a stingray.
It was a stingray.
Oh, it was a stingray. Yeah. Okay. Well, I got that answer.
Those things are vicious.
Stupid nature.
Just don't go to SeaWorld. And you'll never see a stingray.
I like stingrays. Too. They're
Steve Irwin killers.
What has happened?
Number three.
Hit the button.
Rebecca Otto picks Serena Baber. Baber? Baber? I'm not sure. I don't think anybody is. She's an IT professional and healthcare advocate.
Just like the alligators.
As her running mate.
Nobody knows how to say the last name. Rebecca Otto's just out there on the campaign trail. Baber, you know, bobber, whatever.
From the Star Tribune, Rebecca Otto, she's the DFL state auditor, running for governor yesterday, named an information technology professional and healthcare advocate as her running mate. Zarina Baber, I believe is how you pronounce it, has worked on expanding healthcare access by helping establish a free clinic in Fridley and has served on the board of the nonprofit Advocates for Human Rights. She also is a founding member of the National Democratic Muslim Caucus, which she said she helped form after seeing divisiveness grow during the 2016 election.
Oh, somebody just tweeted at me. It's Babar.
I would have to check. I'd have to check because I don't know if I'm remembering right. I actually have an interesting point here to make.
Oh.
I would have to check because I don't know if I'm remembering right, but I think that all of the candidates for governor that have named a running mate, all the running mates have been female, haven't they? I think.
Yeah, I think so. That is an interesting point, Sam.
It is.
Jeff Johnson is Donna Bergstrom.
Right.
Tim Walz has Peggy Flanagan.
Ooh, look at that. I'm looking at Drew right now. He's not even looking at anything.
Otto,
I know.
He's staring off into the distance. I'm pulling it from the transom of his mind.
I don't believe anybody else has announced her. So far, of the three.
So far.
They've set the standard now.
Yeah, they've set the bar. The first one to pick a guy is going to be like, boo. Why are you picking a man? Boo.
Give it the trans. Bloop. Baber of Andover said at a Capital News conference with Otto, we are looking forward to uplifting all of Minnesota as one unified community.
For as long as the campaign lasts.
Baber has Baber has worked in information technology for 25 years and has served as a program director or manager of various large private companies.
Ooh, for-profit corporations?
Including...
Ooh, oh, gross.
Boo. Including including Ameriprise Financial Services, Fairview Health Services, and Target, as well as working for Hennepin County. This is her first time running for public office, though she first got involved in politics by volunteering for Paul Wellstone in the 1990s.
This is just profile awareness now, right? I mean, this is not, no, I mean, Otto's not going to, this has got to be just, for both of them, just continued raising awareness of name profile, you know, in running this, because we know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I mean, Otto seems to be running kind of based on what I'm seeing, feeling, hearing. Otto seems to be running a distant third in the DFL race at this point. So
is she basically just like, hey, I'm
look
here.
At me, everybody.
Look,
I got a running mate now. It's a woman.
Running. Yeah. It's Rena knows that, hey, you know, it's not going to be a very long gig.
Right. Yeah.
People will find out who I am.
Yeah. So. People know who she is now. So.
Yeah.
Number four.
They kind of do.
We've heard her name before now.
Maybe. We think. We've heard something that sounds like her name, at least.
Dayton has vetoed a bill that gives Enbridge's new pipeline fast-track approval. From the Star Tribune, as expected, Governor Mark Dayton vetoed legislation that would have allowed Enbridge to build a controversial new oil pipeline without getting regulatory approval. The legislation would have terminated a 3-year process before the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission that is nearly complete. The PUC is slated next month to decide if Enbridge's new Line 3 across the northern Minnesota is needed, and if so, what route it should take. Dayton said in a letter that this bill preempts the longstanding PUC process, which has been established in law and which has been used for years to make those complex and controversial decisions. The legislation would also disregard the input of thousands of Minnesotans who have participated in the regulatory process, including by attending public meetings and hearings. The bill was introduced by Republican legislators who said the PUC process has taken too long and that construction of a new Line 3 would provide an economic spark in northern Minnesota. The $2.6 billion project is expected to create more than 4,000 construction jobs as well as ancillary economic activity. Opponents of the legislation said that it was simply an end run around the PUC.
Yeah, and that's not an unfair thing to call it. The fact of the matter is the PUC has stonewalled this project, and it needs to get done. So this was an attempt to get around the PUC so that this project could get done, because it's good for Minnesota, it's good for the environment, it's good for everybody involved. And the veto comes as no surprise. We had Dave Osmek on the show last week. And one of the questions I asked him was, you know, do you expect this bill to be signed into law? And he said, nah, probably not.
Does this whole thing just come around to somebody got, like, Governor Mark Dayton, like, a really cool, fancy veto stamp?
Well, he got one of those new box of 64 Crayolas.
Oh, is that what it is?
He's going to use it. Every veto is a different color.
He knows he doesn't have to veto, right? He knows he can approve.
Yeah, but it's not as fun.
It doesn't get as many headlines.
Apparently.
It's not as fun. It's fun to veto. Then he gets to use it.
Veto now.
Is there actually a big veto stamp?
That's what I think. I think somebody got him a big fancy veto stamp and he just wants to use it.
No wonder he wants to use it. Yeah. Somebody get him approved stamp.
Somebody just switch it and see if he notices.
Yeah, there you go.
Someone just
is that how he vetoes things?
Swap out the rubber on the bottom of the wooden block.
Yeah.
Right? And just switch it. And he burns everything.
I just can picture Dayton with like a huge stack of papers and he just goes one at a time, just stamp. Stamp.
Yeah. Stamp. That's fun. You know, he uses different colors every time.
Dayton veto.
We give him a little bowl of goldfish every time he vetoes something.
Stop rewarding him.
It's cool.
Ooh, they got me the ones that are full of colors.
Don't encourage him.
Number 5.
Why is that? A school board has okayed some boundary changes and people are all worked up about it.
Yeah, man.
You start jacking around with people's school districts and people get mad.
We had a similar, I went into to my son's school and they're talking about this and, you know, we live really close by. you know, and people choose where they're going to live based on the proximity of where the schools
are. Good
schools,
yeah.
Yeah, they,
yeah.
So when they start moving around, the boundary change, it's just like, what the heck?
Yeah, yeah. How many of these people in YZ specifically bought the house that they live in because of the school district it's zoned for? I would venture to say at least of the parents.
If you've got kids.
Of the people with school-age kids, at least 60 to 70%.
Easy.
Of the people specifically chose that where they live because of the school district. And then they're like, whoop, sorry, moving you.
From the Star Tribune, more than 500 students will switch schools in a controversial plan the Wayzata School Board approved last night despite opposition from some parents. District leaders said the changes, which will take place in fall 2019, will help address overcrowding at some schools in the district, which is the state's 10th largest. It will also fill a new 9th elementary school that's under construction this summer near the border of the fast-growing cities of Plymouth and Medina.
Maybe they shouldn't have built that if they couldn't get it filled up.
Right.
Right. A record 434 new single-family homes were built in 2017 in the suburban district, and more are on the way, with an estimated 1,000 new homes expected by 2020, mostly in the Plymouth, Medina, and Corcoran areas. Reshuffling school boundaries aims to adjust that for that future growth, but requires moving mostly elementary students, but some middle school students in a plan the school board approved on a 5-to-1 vote.
What a nightmare.
That's sending some parents searching online for homes in Minnetonka on Monday. One of these parents, her name is Andrea, she's quoted in the story. She said, like other parents, she said that her family moved to Plymouth 4 years ago, drawn by her neighborhood's walking distance to Greenwood Elementary. Now her son, who starts kindergarten next fall, will be bused farther away past two already existing elementary schools. She said, in 5 years, are they going to do this again? Our neighborhood is being sacrificed for students who don't even exist yet.
This is why you should let parents choose. You shouldn't be bound to a school simply because of where you chose to buy your home, and your and where your kids go to school shouldn't be subject to the whims of a school board. You should be able to choose where you want to go to school. You should be able to, you know, you got to give parents options. You know, don't just put them in a box and say, well, this is where you live, so this is where you have to go until we change our mind, and then you might go somewhere else.
Well, and to, you know, to step back from this too, the other part of this that I find just, it's another example of how when you look at certain circumstances, you have organizations, and especially the government, that is so keen to pick and choose what hardship they're willing to go and put what group under, right? Because you hear so often, well, we can't do this because this is going to fall hard on this community. And yet here you have an example of taxpaying individuals, homeowners with kids, who now have to basically just bow to the whims of the school districts in making these moves that has to force them through these changes. Where is all the outcries of the chilling effect that this sends through the community and how this is unfairly targeting homeowners in their decision-making process? And it exposes that hypocrisy that we see so often.
Wayzata voters approved a $70 million referendum request last fall that funded the construction of a new elementary school and other projects in the district, which draws students from parts of Corcoran, Maple Grove, Medicine Lake, Medina, Minnetonka, Orono, Plymouth, and Wayzata. But many parents said that they supported the referendum request to help with the anticipated new housing construction in the northwestern part of the over 11,000 student district, not knowing that it would affect them in the south and central part of the district.
How do you not know that? How have you not done the research?
Many parents said that the district should draw boundaries based on current students, not on future students living in homes not yet built.
Wow.
Other parents complained of having new school fatigue after the district just reshuffled boundaries a few years ago when it opened its 8th elementary school. That leaves a Maple Grove neighborhood now having their kids move to their third school in 6 years.
That's terrible.
What a nightmare. What a nightmare.
Terrible mismanagement on the part of that school board.
A Plymouth parent with three children, she said, I don't feel it's fair. It doesn't make sense. If I had known about the changes, I would have moved to a smaller district like Orono. In 3 to 5 years, we're going to be doing this all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
Yep. That's too bad. You know what? Let parents choose.
Yeah.
Let them choose.
Yeah.
Let them send their kids to the school that's either closest to them or the school that they want to go to. Don't make them move just to keep going to the school that they want their kids to go to, or so that their kids can stay with their friends that they've been going to school with for a long period of time. It's ridiculous.
Nicely done, Sam. 651-989-5855. If you want to call and comment on this, we'll get you your phone calls in just a few minutes. Also on the way, did Al Gore tell a bunch of graduates that the Trump presidency should be terminated?
That's an odd choice of words.
It's a little odd choice of words. Also, is 2018 really deadlier for school children than service members? This is a line that's been used in the wake of what happened in Texas on Friday. We'll get to all of it coming up on Twin Cities News Talk. Justice.